We welcome all our guests joining us here tonight. We are honored by your presence, and we truly want you to know that you are our special guests. If you would, if you don't mind, we would love to keep in contact with you, and we would love to continue to strengthen these bonds of friendship and fellowship with one another so that we can always be sure to send our light. I want to thank all of our brethren who are here tonight, and for those who were unable to join us this morning but are here tonight as well, thank you. Thank you for being here. If you will, please bow with me in prayer. We're going to do things a little bit different tonight as we conclude our last quarter of 2021. If you will, please bow with me. Our Heavenly Father and our beloved God, hallowed be thy name. Father, we come before thy divine presence, giving thee the honor, the glory, and all praise. Because, Father, thou art King, thou art God, and truly art worthy of such praise. Father, as we have sung these hymns to thee, Lord, we also have learned from them. We understand, Father, that this entire series that we have been studying of thy word, to seek and save the lost, Father, has all reached to this point, teaching us, Father, about our identity as Christians. Teaching us, Father, that because we are the light and the salt of this world, it is our responsibility, Father, to send the light. That we are to answer the Macedonian call. That we are, Father, to shine brightly before men. That we, Father, must be the keepers of this light. But also, Father, we must shed it so that we can help guide those to thy feet, thy son's feet. Father, if ever our lamps have not been filled with oil, if ever we, Father, have allowed our lamps to run out of oil, Father, because of our negligence, we ask for thy forgiveness. We ask, Father, that thou granteth us the opportunity to make right our mistakes, and that, Father, we may continue to grow in the grace and the knowledge of thy Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that we, Father, may be able to look into the heavens and always wait for him diligently, knowing, Father, that when he returns, if we are found approved, Father, and if we are found doing as we are to be doing, that thou, Father, would then say those words that thou have promised to say, well done, good and faithful servant. Forgive us, Father, if we are the opposite. Forgive us, Father, if we have failed thee. Forgive us for our sins. Father, be with us, thy servant. Allow me to speak as thy oracle, but above all, allow me to live and dwell in thy word, Father, so that I too may be able to send the light. Forgive us, Father, for our sins, as we pray this in the glorious name of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please turn in your Bibles to the book of Daniel. The book of Daniel, chapter 12. Daniel chapter 12, and I want us to begin at verse 1. At that time Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was there was a nation, since there was a nation. Even to that time, and at that time, your people shall be delivered, everyone who is found written in the book. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. May the word of God always be blessed. This morning we were able to understand, brethren, that we are the keepers of light. That we are responsible to make sure that the beacon that is Christ continues to shine brightly before men. But tonight, brethren, as we conclude this final quarter, this, brethren, as I was sharing with certain members of our Lord's body earlier, was in my mind from the moment that our eldership gave me the subject. You see, brethren, when I read here in Daniel chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, we see, brethren, another scene of the end of times. Like Matthew chapter 25, where the five virgins that were wise and the five virgins that were foolish will be judged based on either their wisdom or their foolishness. We once again see another scenario given to us through the form of Daniel's vision, where we are being told, brethren, that there will be a day when those who sleep will awake. That is to say, there will be a resurrection. And on that day, there will be some that awaken to everlasting life. Those are the ones that will hear, well done, good and faithful servant. But then there are some that will awaken to shame and everlasting contempt. Those are the ones that Christ will say, I know you not. Depart from me, doers of evil. But notice verse 3. Notice how verse 3 refers to those who are evangelizing daily. This, brethren, is the result of what we have been studying these final 3 months of 2021. This has been the reason and the preparation as to why, from the moment the subject was assigned, I knew that this is the way it had to end. Because when you and I keep ourselves diligent in the business of our Lord, when you and I are constantly bringing, brethren, those who are lost to righteousness side, when we are those who turn many, God Himself says that we are radiant, that we shine brightly as stars, that we stand out even from amongst our own brethren, because we love mankind just as God loves mankind, because we desire to save the lost just as God desires to save the lost. And thus, this, brethren, means that we come to reflect the image in the glory of our Father by sharing this love and by working side by side with Him. You see, brethren, the reason this scripture came to my mind and why, Brother Anciso, I asked him to lead the song tonight is because when we talk about sending the light, isn't that the purpose of the stars? Isn't that what the stars in the night's heaven do? Think of the fact that shipmates would use the stars for navigation. Think of the fact that stars were also used because even though they do not shine as bright as the sun, they still shed light during the night, especially as you can see in the screen behind you, the night is full of them. If there are not too many clouds in the sky, they are always there, shining, twinkling, guiding, sending the light so that we will not be in complete obscurity. But see, brethren, because here in chapter 12, verse 3, we are now starting to understand why. Why those who are wise shine like the brightest of the firmament, like the brightness of the firmament. Because we stand out. And the saying that comes into my mind is one that I've heard before. The darkest nights produce the brightest stars. Brethren, you and I, we hear a lot about the word star being used in reference to actors, artists, and those who stand out even from amongst their peers. But then we also hear phrases such as superstars, supernovas, those who shine brightly, those who shine even brighter than others. It's why we've entitled our conclusion this evening, The Brightest Star. Now let us go to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13, verses 10 through 14. And notice how both of these passages, brethren, concur with one another. Romans chapter 13, beginning at verse 10. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. And do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. You paid attention to the songs chosen by our brother. They all spoke about light. You notice he began by saying and through his hymns and by singing that we, brethren, must be walking in heavenly sunlight. But then we went on to remember and commemorate by something that we oft do together. And as we sang before this lesson, we were instructed by our words that we sang and we committed to sending that light. Thus, every one of these songs, including the ones that we will be singing afterward, will you notice that they all are talking about our identity. Not only our identity as the keepers of the light, but our identity, it should be more as the brightest stars in this dark sky that is the world. But one of the things that makes the stars so unique, brethren, is that their light is always glowing. No matter how dark the night may be, they are always there shining and making sure that they provide light and guidance to those who look into the heavens of them. They always admire. They always astonish. I have not yet read a poem, nor have I heard an artist who speaks about the stars of the night as a horrid scene or as something that is horrible or ugly to perceive. Indeed, I think one of the things that parents do, at least my father did, to remove the fear of the night is to go and to show me that one of the beautiful things that can be seen at night and not at day are the stars of the heavens. Brethren, we need to be that image to those who are afraid of coming to Christ. When they see us, we should produce that kind of calm, that kind of love, that desire of wanting to be amongst the stars, of wanting to be just as bright as one of them. Brethren, you see, as we start our subject, notice as we start how we, brethren, are told by Daniel and both Paul, that we, brethren, have the responsibility of brightening the firmament. And when we talk about the firmament, without a doubt, we're talking about the heavens. We're talking about the night sky. We, brethren, not only decorate the skies of the night, but we serve a purpose in them. If you recall there in Genesis chapter 1, when we are reading the story of the creation, the stars along with the moon and the sun were given a purpose by God. They were given a purpose not only to guide those who are out at sea, but they were also given a purpose to show and tell about what will be coming as far as weather and things of the sort. But the reality is, brethren, that they were there so that we would not always be enclosed or engulfed by complete darkness. They're there as a reminder that there is always a brighter day tomorrow. You see, brethren, one of the things that we often forget about being the stars is that they are filling the night skies. Notice that our skies, brethren, are filled with millions upon millions of twinkling lights. And they fill those stars, brethren. So much so that we, brethren, as Christians, forget that this is a reminder of a promise given to Abraham. Go with me now to Genesis chapter 15, beginning at verse 5. Go now to Genesis chapter 15, beginning there at verse 5. And notice how beautiful a promise that God has made that you and I must understand was not in reference to Israel alone. Notice verse 5. Then he brought him outside and said, "Look now toward heaven and count the stars if you are able to number them." And he said to him, "So shall your descendants be." And he believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. Brethren, when we read this, often we hear it in reference to the descendancy of Israel. But when I get to the book of Exodus, I see that the descendants of Israel were able to be counted. So much so that the Bible tells us the amount that there was about 600,000 plus of them leaving the Exodus, leaving Egypt. But God here is telling Abraham that his descendancy was going to be like the stars of the heaven. They were going to be unable to count them. Have you ever tried counting the stars before? Have you ever gone out into the night while you're at a beach or camping just to try to count the stars? Eventually you lose track and you lose your position of where you are. Therefore, when we read this and we understand that, when we think about this, we have to understand, brethren, that this promise that God is making Abraham is not in reference to Israel alone, but it was in reference to the universality of us, the church. Go now to Galatians chapter 3. And notice, brethren, that as we read this, the promise of God to Abraham that his descendants will be like the stars of the heaven is clearly shown here in verses 26 through 29. "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." Notice the last passage. "And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. You see that? Notice, brethren, in verse 28, how the universal salvation is being presented as the answer and the confirmation that indeed the descendants of Abraham are like the stars in the heavens. But before that, we see in verse 27 where you and I play a role in brightening the firmament. Because without a doubt, the more stars in the night, the brighter the skies are. And thus their baptism is what gives us that shine. Baptism is what gives us that brilliance. And the reason is because you think about Zechariah chapter 3. You think about the vision of the high priest Joshua, who when he's in the presence of God, he had on those tattered robes. And after God has justified him, he commands them to remove his robes and to dress him in new, clean, white robes. The color of brightness. A color of resplendence. We go to the book of Revelation and we see where John is shown the martyrs, our brethren, who are faithful till death. And the question is asked, who are these arrayed in white robes? They stood out. Their bright was greater, more brilliant than those who did not die through martyrdom. We read about Stephen, whose face, says Scripture, had the appearance of an angel. But notice, brethren, when we recall the prophecy given by Daniel to Nebuchadnezzar in his dream, in Daniel chapter 2, verse 44, that mountain, that last great king that would rise to never fall, that mountain that would fill the entire land, well, that's us, brethren. And as Christians, we fill the night sky. As Christians, this is one of the reasons, one of the results of diligently evangelizing. When you and I preach the gospel daily, when you and I live the gospel daily, we, brethren, as we've learned throughout our studies, are going to be that example that is going to be desired as found there in Proverbs 11. We, brethren, are going to be able to shed and send that light that's going to guide those to Christ. Because they're going to want to know why or what makes us different. But then when they themselves obey the gospel, that will be another star born in the night heavens. And yet again, we continue to fill the skies with brighter stars. So as we read in Genesis chapter 15, brethren, and as we've seen through Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 and 29, one of the consequences and results of evangelizing as we should be is that we fill the night sky with stars. We fill the night sky with stars. No wonder the Apostle Paul referred to the Philippians as his glory, his crown, as the stars to his crown. This is why, brethren, you've heard perhaps in some time or another, preachers say, brethren, we have to add stars to our crowns. Every soul that we are able to bring in the Lord to, every soul that we preach the gospel to, that we sow the seed, that's another star that gets added to our crowns. And obviously, the more stars we have, the brighter its glow it's going to be. But we mentioned this earlier, too. We mentioned that there is a saying that actually makes a lot of sense, that the brightest star, the most darkest night, produces the brightest stars. You see, brethren, we as Christians are the most brilliant in the darkest skies. Meaning then that when problems, when challenges, when trouble comes our way, this is where our Christianity truly stands out the most. That when we find ourselves in the most dire of situations, our faith in which we practice daily comes to be radiant in the face of adversity. Go with me now to Isaiah chapter 62. Isaiah chapter 62. And I want you to keep in mind as we go there and as we're about to read it, that prophecy that Isaiah is reading about, that we are about to read about, it is a prophecy where God is assuring that Christ would come and he would establish his church. Therefore, this is what we would call an ecclesiastical prophecy. meaning a prophecy concerning you and I as a church. And beginning there at verse 1, "For Zion's sake I will not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest until her righteousness goes forth as brightness, and her salvation as lamp that burns. The Gentiles shall see your righteousness, and all kings your glory. You shall be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord will name." Brethren, this is talking about us. This is a prophecy referring to us. Because as we've just read in Galatians chapter 3, verse 27, when we put on Christ, when we live as Christians, this is the light that's going to shine upon the Gentiles. This is the light that is going to shine upon those. And it is a light of righteousness. It is a lamp that burns. And even kings will see this glory. Brethren, did not King Agrippa ask and question Paul? He could not see the glory of Paul without saying, "You almost persuaded me." For a king to say that, brethren, it shows how brightly the light of the Apostle Paul was burning. We see, brethren, how Caesar, the first time, allows Paul to go back home. He gives him his freedom. We see, brethren, how Herod saw as a threat Christians, therefore, to be well with the Jews, he started persecuting them. And we can go on and on with many examples. But as we saw last week, brethren, an example of Philip. The harder the situation became, the greater the threat of persecution was, the stronger the light of evangelism was shining wherever they went. We mentioned this about Philip. How Philip, brethren, even though he had just seen a companion, a friend, and a dear brother be stoned for preaching the truth, even though he had to leave behind his responsibility there at Jerusalem, this did not stop Philip from preaching the gospel wherever he went. On the contrary, this motivated him to preach even more. This gave him the strength to spread even more the good news of salvation. Because the mentality and the reality was that because the times were darkest, the thing that made sense and logic sense in the mind of the Christians of the first century is, well, then we need to shine brighter so that people will not lose hope. Not run, because the days are getting darker. Confront steadfastly. Stand our ground and increment the shine of our stars. What makes a star brighter is not more gas. Brethren, it's the simple logic of the darker the background, the better the contrast. You see that? A star will shine brightly because the night grew darker, but it never stopped shining. The shine of a star did not dim along with the darkness of its background. On the contrary, the darkness of the background made the shine pop, made it glow even brighter. Is this not what Job, brethren, teaches us? How his integrity shines brightly throughout his adversity? Was this not what made our Lord so admirable that even a Roman governor by the name of Pontius Pilate many times wanted to release him? Because he knew and he believed Jesus when he said, "My kingdom is not from this world." The Bible says that at that moment, Pontius Pilate wanted to let him go. You have to ask yourself, why? Why would Pilate want to release Christ after hearing, "My kingdom is not from this world"? Where is your kingdom from? It is in the heavens. And you can see it from afar. Because it's bright, its shine is stronger even than that of the sun. So much so that John describes the glorious church, the triumphant church, where there will no longer be need of a sun or a moon, because the glory of Christ will always shine brightly in there. There at Acts chapter 13, verses 46 through 49, brethren, and I encourage you to read it back home because of our time. But what you're going to find is that, like we've already mentioned, Paul finds himself yet again in adversity. And the adversity is that he has been persecuted. He has already preached in the synagogue there in chapter 13. And at first he was well received by the brethren, or rather by his Jewish brethren there at the synagogue. But then the Gentiles wanted to hear also. The Gentiles had a craving of wanting to know. And thus Paul therefore also preaches to them. And as always was common with the Jews, when they see that there were more Gentiles and that they were more receptive to the gospel of Christ, then when they try to convince them, they become jealous. They become envious. So they start blaspheming. They start purposely contradicting Paul. And this is where Paul reminds them of the prophecy of Isaiah, where he reminds them that indeed in Scripture it was said that the church would be set as a light to the Gentiles, as a lamp to guide them out of their darkness. And therefore Paul decides in that moment to leave the Jews and now work with the Gentiles. He did not allow the despair or the pain of seeing that his brethren were so stubborn, of seeing that his brethren would not listen, that just a week prior they were in agreement and were encouraged by his words, and within a week's span their jealousy was able to overtake them and prove that their sincerity was short-lived or never true. Paul did not allow that setback to discourage him. He did not allow for that persecution that was about to come to make him stop from what he had to do. Where there was an opportunity, Paul took it. Whether it was with the Jews, or whether it was, as in the case of Acts chapter 13, 46 through 49, with the Gentiles. And yet again, you'll see in verse 49 that many Gentiles were added to the body of the Lord. Our lamp will shine brightest, brethren, in our adversity. Our star will be the brightest if even after a tumultuous and difficult time, we still make an opportunity to preach the gospel. You know, I'm reminded of our dear sister Myra Burton. I'll never forget her example. I was with her alongside Brother Ron there in the hospital, perhaps the last time she went into the hospital. And the reason I remember so much our sister is because she was there in the bed, very sick. She could barely talk. She had an oxygen mask, if I'm not remembering incorrectly. But you know why I remember that day? Not because of her appearance, not because of her pain, not because of her agony, but because of what she did in spite of a preacher and another man being there. And what did she do? She did what the preacher was supposed to do. She started evangelizing her nurse. I never felt so ashamed in my life. Here's the evangelist not evangelizing, and here's one of the members evangelizing as a reminder to, shouldn't you be doing this? And she did it so easily, so calm, as if she was already oiled up from doing it so much. She very easily and subtly went into it, where the nurse didn't even realize she was being evangelized by this sick woman on her bed. Very easily. A bright star in the darkest night. A woman who never saw the negative of life, but always saw an opportunity, even in adversity. A woman that even though she was very sick, would always respond to the question, how are you doing today? It could be worse. Indeed, brethren, we need to learn from examples not only of Christians in the Bible, but Christians in our lives who make these kinds of impacts, that no matter how difficult the challenge may be, they shine brightly before men. We brighten the firmament, brethren, by not blending or never blending into the night sky. You know, this point was one of my favorite ones. It is one of my favorite ones. Because I started thinking, I will admit the reason I look so tired is because I did a lot of night gazing, hoping that I could see some stars. Unfortunately, we live in a land where it's polluted by light, right? But one night after driving home from here, actually, it was one of those rare nights where I could actually see the stars. And it got me thinking, stars never blend into the night. They always stand apart. They always stand apart, which is why we can recognize them as stars. They don't form a part of the darkness that makes night, night. What they do is, they tell us that even in the night, their glow, their shine, cannot be taken away. They never compromise. They never blend in. You can never tell. Or rather, you will never get confused. Am I looking at the night or am I looking at a star? You won't know if you're looking at a star or not. Because stars never blend in. They never are a camouflage to the night. They are always the contrast. They are always the opposite. They are the ones that set the night from the light apart. Go with me now to Judges chapter 5. Go to Judges chapter 5, verse 31. Thus let all your enemies perish, O Lord, but let those who love Him be like the sun when it comes out in full strength. So the land had rest for 40 years. You know the background of this song? Deborah and Barak had just destroyed their enemy. Sisera had been slain by the unlikeliest of sources, by a woman who put a stake through his head. This song was a song of victory because God had yet delivered them from the hands of their enemies. But in verse 31, when we read it, we are seeing the compare and contrast between Sisera, an enemy of God, and the woman who put a stake through him, who loved God. Because she risked everything. She risked everything to help Israel be freed from the hands of their enemies. Her love for God's people, her love for God's righteousness, her love for doing that which was right and necessary. We see that it is described by Deborah here, the inspired Deborah, by the way, as shining like the sun, but not just like the sun that we had today in the midst of the rain, not just like the sun through the gloomy skies. No, notice, when it comes out in full strength. The sun never blends to the sky. The skies always blend to the sun. Because when the sun comes out, the sky is no longer night. It is day. Brethren, we must not blend into this world. Because we are the brightest stars, we have to always stand out. We must not be afraid to stand out. We must not be afraid of being seen as odd or as, quote, fanatics, as they would say, if we are living righteously. Because what's happening when they make those types of statements means that our bright shine for God because we love Him is bothering their eyes, because it is making them and forcing them to adjust their eyes to the light from being living in darkness their entire lives. But what's bothering them is good for them, not bad. This is why Christ tells Nicodemus in John chapter 3, verse 17 and forward, that the light appeared, but man loved darkness more than the light. But Christ never blended in. Christ didn't follow the crowd. Christ did not stay quiet so that they wouldn't be offended. In fact, we see in Matthew chapter 15, when the apostles come to Him and they tell Him, Lord, You have offended the Pharisees. Doesn't stay quiet. He spoke even more. Let them be. They are blind guides of blind. Brethren, we cannot blend into this world. We cannot become like this world. We as Christians must stand out. We as Christians must make sure that we help those who do want to come into the light. That we are always there, forcing them to adjust their thoughts, forcing them to adjust their spiritual eyes, to open their eyes, so that they can allow the light to shine in them. Please go now to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Notice what the Bible says in regards to this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 5. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. Brethren, here is what's going to happen when we fulfill the Great Commission. We are going to stand out even from among our own brethren. We are going to stand out because our light is going to shine even more than those who are simply glowing stars. Because what pushes us, what drives us, what motivates us to preach the gospel of Christ is our love for God and our love for our fellow man. And as we read in Judges 5:31, it is that love that drives and fuels our stars so that we can always be known to be sought after by those who want to find Christ. We mentioned that stars provide navigation. That's who you and I should be. We should provide guidance. We should provide God's undefiled word. We should be able to provide direction toward Jesus Christ, the light of the world. We brighten the firmament. We brighten the skies, the night sky, by filling it with stars, which is a result directly of evangelism. By being most brilliant in the darkest of nights, by evangelizing no matter how much discouragement and challenges come our way. By never blending into the light, meaning that when the world wants us to keep silent and to no longer speak of Christ, that's when we speak loudest. We don't stop. We won't stop just because our light bothers someone who wants to remain in darkness. How many of us, brethren, when we're asleep, if it is on our day off, if we forget to close the blinds of our room and the sun comes up, how many of us rebuke the sun and tell it to go back down and the sun listens? Will the morning stop being morning just because we went to sleep more? And yes, I'm thinking about my vacation, which is why I'm saying it. Will it stop being morning just because I want to continue to sleep to have a longer night? No, it will not. Because the sun will always shine during the day. And the stars will also always shine during the night. Did you know that God is telling us that whether in joy or in sorrow, there is always the hope of light? Even from nature, God is teaching us, no matter how dark the day or the night may be, there is always light. There is always light. Therefore, let us walk as children of light. Let us fill the night skies as the brightest stars that can we be. If we are barely glowing because we haven't been diligently preaching the gospel, then let us preach it even more so that our star can shine the brightest it can. Let's outshine those who don't love God by loving God. Remembering that Christ told us, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. It was Christ's commandments to go and preach to every creature the gospel news of salvation. May our love, as Deborah said in Judges 5:31, shine as the sun when it comes out in its full strength. May we, brethren, have the power to transform anyone's night into day by showing them that God is always here. We are proof that God is still here, that He has not abandoned mankind, and that His salvation is still available. But we have to shine brightly so that man will know where to go and find that salvation. Now, my friend, perhaps you've been here wanting to adjust your eyesight. Perhaps your eyes have not been adjusted to the light because they've become so accustomed to darkness that you feel like you're being blinded. Well, you know, you then would understand Saul of Tarsus. Because that's the lesson there in Acts chapter 9 when Christ appears to him. You see, Saul of Tarsus thought that he was following the glory of God. He thought that he was doing that which was holy. But when Christ appeared and showed him what true holiness is, what true glory is, Saul was blinded by Christ. But then, Ananias opened his eyes, and he helped him adjust his eyes to the light that is Christ. And Paul never again walked in darkness. Tonight, we want to be that Ananias to you. Tonight, we want to help you adjust your eyesight. We want to help your eyes, your spiritual eyes, adjust to the glory of Christ. Like Ananias, we ask you, friend, why do you tarry? Arise and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, and Christ shall be your Lord. We need more stars in these night skies. We openly admit that it is our objective and it is our goal to fill the star, the night sky with brightest stars. Don't you want to be added to that night sky? Don't you want your brilliance to start to shine tonight? If there's anyone subject to the invitation this evening, we invite you to come forward as we stand and sing our